everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Off we go now. Midweek edition. My buddy Tom Fairbanks engineering and producing the show. Tom, we are in for some chilly weather. And this means, of course, covering the sensitive plants. But I just looked at that forecast. That's supposed to continue all the way through like Monday night of below, right at freezing or like down to 28.
Well, Sunday anyway.
Sunny, Sunday, yeah.
They're saying showers are possible Monday. Yeah. But I'm predicting something.
What
are
you predicting?
A run on windshield ice scrapers at auto stores.
Run on windshield ice scrapers. Now, that harkens back to my days growing up in Chicagoland. Where you needed a really good ice scraper to get by.
Well, they're going to be dealing, I think, at least with frost.
Yeah, with frost. Yeah. They'll be very good. All right. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It is January the 18th, 2023. We are now a couple of weeks into our 13th year, Lucky 13, on the radio. Our program broadcasting from the Bustos Media Broadcast Complex, we have four stations under one roof, and we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. When we do our telephone interviews, 790-2040. If you'd like to join the conversation, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome our leadoff guest today. David Godlewski is with us. It's good to welcome David back to the program. He's president of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. He's been in that job, it's hard to believe, over 10 years. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Doing well, and I hope your new year is off to a good start. It was a difficult year in your business. 2022, the big turnaround, the interest rates, the whole myriad of issues. Where are we? What's the 30,000-foot view of home building in Southern Arizona?
Well, I would say we've had a particularly interesting and challenging 3 years now since the start of the pandemic in early 2020, and we've seen kind of a myriad of challenges.
This is a three-year anniversary, David.
Can you believe that?
Of the pandemic. You know, mm-hmm. Not January necessarily. We were getting reports of issues in China, our first cases, we had a few, but by February, you know, NBA games canceled, that was it. I mean, that was the start of it. 3 years.
It really was, and it's been a long 3 years, and I remember at that point in time thinking that we were staring at another 2008 type of great recession, and was worried that the housing market was going to completely plunge. And then as we got further into 2020, we saw things go in the opposite direction, and home sales and home building took off, and the housing market caught fire. And it really remained that way until the midpoint of 2022, when we saw the jump in interest rates. And you know, we had gotten through COVID. We had navigated unprecedented supply chain issues, tremendous jump in material pricing, labor shortage. But it's been those interest rates that I think have caused a significant slowdown and pullback in the housing market. And it's hit home building particularly hard.
Yeah. Look at single family permits in the month of December 2022.
Just looking at that month, I think it's a great example of where we're at in the market. So in December 2022, we did 124 single family permits. Compare that to a year prior when we did 425 permits. So a drop of 70%. Year over year, it was about a 30% drop. But most of that occurred in the second half of the year.
Part of your membership are people that do remodels. And when so many people were home during the pandemic, David, they turned to say to their loved one or companion, you know, why don't we do an upgrade? So some of your members really did benefit during COVID.
They did, absolutely. And at that time when everybody was working remote, you know, the concept of the Zoom room came up and people were redoing kitchens and putting in pools and doing roofs. And so there was a tremendous amount of activity. And I think a lot of that was enabled by, the federal stimulus money that came through. So it was a robust couple of years for sure.
In your overview, you mentioned a couple of very important avenues that your industry has to deal with. You mentioned a supply chain. Where are we? Are we still probably have wrinkles, but the material shortage and prices, has that started to level off?
Well, I always try and look at the bright side of things and see if there are any silver linings. So while no one's happy, and certainly not the builders in terms of where sales are today, I do think that we are going to see some relief in terms of the supply chain and material pricing, and that's going to be a benefit to the homeowners. There was a time, Bill, where it was taking 8 to 10 months to build a home, and that was practically double what it had been pre-pandemic. And so we've started to see some relief in the supply chain. Prices of materials have started to come down. It's still expensive to build, but have some, hope that things will start to ease up here and, kind of reset where we were in terms of the time it takes to build homes and the cost of building those homes.
And the poster boy was lumber. Oh my goodness, the prices of lumber were skyrocketing, and I'm wondering, have those prices moderated a bit?
They have. Lumber, particularly, you nailed it. I mean, that was just astronomical, those increases. Those have started coming back to earth. There was a period of time where, almost every week or every other week, it was a new material that saw similar kind of increases. They've all, generally started to level off, if not come back. So that is, that's a positive thing. But it's really been challenging, to build homes on time and deal with the pricing issues, labor issues, all of those things for sure.
And that's another one we need to talk about, labor. It's rare to go into any business, David, as you well know, and not see somebody looking for an employer saying, we need help. I wonder how that translates to your industry in construction.
It's certainly been a systemic issue for a long time here in Southern Arizona. We just haven't had the level of labor coming into the construction industry, and that's in many ways, kind of held us back or limited us in what our abilities are for building homes. It's something that Saba has tried to get out in front of and partner with other construction organizations. We do an annual construction career day where we get several thousand high school students out to learn about the trades, to get them interested, to see that it is a great career, a way to make good money. And it's something that we're constantly trying to make sure that we're sending the right message and getting people into the trades, because there certainly are labor issues.
Okay, with 124 single family permits taken out in December, 70% decline, as you mentioned, I'm just curious, where in our valley is home building even going on?
We saw coming out of the recession in that 2009, 10, 11 period, a lot of the activity was concentrated in the northwest side of the town, and while that's strong, we are seeing a much more kind of diverse geographical location for the new subdivisions. There's a lot of activity in the southwest. There's activity in the southeast in that Vail area. And there's been quite a bit of infill in the past couple of years as well. So it is pretty diverse around the region.
How about Sahorita?
Sahorita is another area that's been a growth area and has picked up, and I think will be strong going forward. But you mentioned, the December numbers. And really, you know, we ended the year down 30%, and it'll be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see another decline in permitting activity in 2023, you know, somewhere maybe in that 15-20% range, if not a little bit more. But not, it's not all bad. Like I said, there are some positives that are gonna keep us going forward.
All right, still to come with David Godlewski. There's a lot to talk about with David, who's the president of Southern Arizona Home Builders. We'll talk about this very sticky situation with housing affordability. What is it? Is it even possible to achieve? We'll talk about the assured water supply and the spring home show that Saba has been very much involved with for more than a half a century. But right now, David, I want to talk about one of my favorite sponsors. Could you go for some bakery goods right now?
Sure could. That sounds great.
Something sweet. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 in the morning, and people are waiting when they open the door, Steve and the team, and I don't blame them. What a great way to start the day. Good cup of coffee and a piece of Danish Kringle or maybe a chocolate croissant. That sounds pretty good to me. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. We'll be back with David with more talking about housing in Southern Arizona. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to JamCulinaryConcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Alrighty then, welcome back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things, they do such a beautiful job over there. More than 50 years. I think they're now starting their 53rd business over at 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack, the owners, just expanded and done such a beautiful job with those 13 acres that they have, and they added a new component to the business, Zocalo Village, beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Here are a couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things is open daily. We now continue with our conversation with David Godleski. David is the president and has been now for more than a decade at the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. All right, where do we begin? Let's see. Let's take affordable housing. I hear every politician I interview says we need more of it. Community leaders say we need more of it. What is it, in your opinion?
I think that's the million-dollar question, is how do we define affordable housing? I mean, you know, traditionally, affordable housing is defined as housing that's affordable for someone who's making 80% of the area median income. But really, I think the way that we like to look at it is talking about housing affordability. I've not met a single person who wants to pay more for their home than they need to. And so key in that is making sure that we have adequate housing supply, and making sure that we have access for buyers across the spectrum to get into housing that meets their needs. That's infill housing, that's suburban housing, that's single family, that's multifamily, that's for rent, for sale. It's an entire spectrum of different housing types and products for different people. I definitely think that more can be done in the realm of trying to make housing more affordable, and we're certainly working towards that end.
Are there some developments that are attractive to first-time buyers that come to mind?
You know, there are. I think that some of the outlying communities have done a good job about attracting builders that build to that price point for those first-time or entry-level buyers. Because the reality is, if you're buying land in the built environment or in the city, the land's expensive. So that's really what you need to look at, is what that land costs or the land basis for that subdivision is going to be. That's ultimately going to affect the price of the homes. You know, and there certainly is a role for that, kind of taxpayer subsidized affordable housing, government led projects. We need that as well, but we need to make sure that we're not imposing unnecessary barriers for the private sector builders to be able to build at a more affordable price points.
So many issues before the legislature that you'll be keeping a very close watch on. Of course, water, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But since we are talking about affordable housing, whatever happened to this legislative housing study committee?
That's a great question, Bill. So at the legislative session of 2022, the legislature agreed to a bipartisan housing supply study committee that was led by representatives Steve Kaiser and Cesar Chavez. And that committee met a number of times over the summer on various topics, taking a substantial amount of input. The committee was comprised of a few legislators, as well as industry professionals, representatives from government, from other nonprofits. And so I would expect that there to be some bills that are introduced this session that deal with some of those topics that came up during that study committee process.
Now let's talk about what's called assured water supply. As you know, the New York Times, lots of headlines, some of them maybe a little deceiving, like the one from this week, as the headline, as drought plagues the West, an Arizona suburb loses its water. And we're talking about this Rio Verde foothills situation, which is just outside of Scottsdale. And the New York Times says the situation is unusually dire. But if you read the article, that is a situation where water has actually been trucked into this development for years. And now City of Scottsdale says, we're not trucking water anymore to this development.
You know, there probably should have been a lot of red flags that went up prior to this. And that's not, you know, from really from a planning perspective. And what Saba member builders do are planned residential communities where you go through a very rigorous process of getting the appropriate certificates that you need or building in an area where there's a designated water provider where they meet the assured water supply requirements. That particular subdivision, like I said, it is more of an outlier, but those headlines certainly don't help as Arizona and Southern Arizona is looking to, you know, attract outside investment and expand here. So we no doubt have some very serious water issues that we need to get on top of. But these subdivisions are approved by ADWR and their use is being replenished.
That's the state water district.
That's right. That's
which
right.
is, it's getting tough and they should be because of what's going on the Colorado River. They've already said they've been looking at some housing developments in the Buckeye area outside Phoenix.
Absolutely. I mean, this issue is, in my opinion, the number one issue that we as a state need to face. It directly affects our economic development future. It affects housing. It affects housing affordability. It's good to see that there are a number of efforts that are being undertaken to address the issues. I know Governor Hobbs has talked about forming a new committee or council to help guide her on those issues. And there's no silver bullet. We need to look at a lot of different issues. We need to make sure that we're looking at water transfers. We need to look at conservation. We need to look at, big picture issues like desalinization, potable reuse. So it's not just one particular issue. It's going to take a lot of different strategies to prepare us for the future.
So when a home builder takes out a permit, they have to meet the requirement of what is called assured water supply.
That's right. In Arizona, we have a very, groundbreaking law with the Arizona Groundwater Management Act that sets forth the Assured Water Supply Program. The builders, prior to, being able to move forward, they have to go through that process to demonstrate that they have meet the 100-year assured water supply requirements. There are different ways to do that, but yes, absolutely. That's a process when you're building a subdivision that you have to go through to make sure that there's going to be enough water.
All right. What are your members looking at in 2023? What are the challenges, David Godlewski?
You know, we touched on mortgage interest rates. That's going to be at the top of the list. And I think it's less about what that number is. Is it going to level off? Are we going to see some stability there? I heard it explained to me by one builder that right now preventing a cancellation is good of a sale because, you know, these buyers are seeing those rates go up. They're concerned about broader macroeconomic conditions and they're getting cold feet. And I certainly understand that. So they're going to be trying to, reassure those, buyers and work with them, perhaps, buying down the mortgage. There are different strategies that the builders are imposing. And then I also think that from a regulatory perspective, we're going to try and make sure that we're working in a cooperative way with local government, with state government to try and reduce the barriers to housing supply, to make sure we're keeping homes affordable. I definitely think government has a direct role in the price of housing, and we're going to work with them to try and find out what those ways are and how to remove those barriers so that we can remain healthy and homeowners can, you know, achieve their desired goal of home ownership.
For more than 50 years, your organization, SABA, Southern Arizona Home Builders, has staged the Spring Home Building Show. It will be April 14th, 15th, and 16th. This spring show has become such an institution in our community.
It's really been a pleasure to be able to work at SABA and to be able to host a community-wide event like the SABA Home Show. We do it twice a year. It's a great opportunity for home buyers to go out, and homeowners, I should say, and whether it's looking for new windows, talking to somebody to do a roof, air conditioning, landscaping, you name it. We have something for everyone. And I like to say, you know, it's easy to be able to, you know, get on your phone or computer and compare companies or businesses, but it's another to go down to look people in the eye, to talk to the person who you're going to let in your home to make those improvements. And in the SABA Home Show affords people that opportunity.
All right, David Godlewski, Southern Arizona Home Builders Association President. David, good to catch up with you, and good luck in 2023.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take our mid-show break here on the Buckmaster Show. Up next, our monthly travel talk segment. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel will join us. So much on the plate in the travel industry. People want to travel again. A lot of pent-up demand. I know I'm one of them. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Time for Insider Travel Talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Mr. Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts standing by right now, they are hoping and willing and they can't wait to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. Great website. The first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Joining us now on the live line, Ryan Hansen. Hey, Rhino, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Great to talk to you, and Happy New Year. We can still say that because this is the first time we've talked in 2023, right?
It is the first time. That's kind of the gauge I use, too. If it's a first time and we're a couple of weeks in, it's still very appropriate. And since we talked last, oh my goodness, there were a lot of people that had a very, very rough holiday season if they were traveling, in particular with Southwest Airlines. And you wonder, what is an airline's obligation when there is a canceled flight? What rights, Ryan Hansen, does the consumer have?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that is, as you and I like to do, is talk about these current events that many people experienced. And if you're not familiar with it, just to recap, we had a couple different issues in the travel industry and the airline space. One was canceled flights. Is increasing, it seems, and a lot of those are outside of the weather issues that we've typically seen or mechanical failures. Many of these canceled flights across all the major carriers have been due to crew shortages, airplane issues that from an availability standpoint. And so that's one way that you could have a canceled flight. You also had a complete system breakdown by Southwest Airlines, as you alluded to. And the way they're set up is quite unique compared to American, Delta, and United with the hub system, the hub and spoke system of those three. Southwest is point to point, so that just gives you limitations to have crew and airplane availability when there are issues, and then reassigning those crew to different airline or aircraft becomes a major issue. And then the third issue that happened is the entire transportation system had the crash back on January 11th, where everything went down from an FAA standpoint. So there's lots of these different layers of how you could have a canceled flight, and you hit it on the head. The consumer is the one that really bears the brunt. So if you were in a situation where a restaurant or a department store did not fulfill something to you as a consumer that you purchased, you would expect remuneration. You would expect some type of a refund, not just store credit for a future purchase if something really went wrong. And I think this is the situation where most consumers don't know that the airlines are required to provide a refund. You do have to fight, though. And that's one of the challenges with the airline industry is that the fight starts online, unfortunately, with filing the proper applications through the websites of each of the airlines. But do not give up. That would be my first recommendation to any consumer that has been wronged in this situation. Don't give up. Hopefully you purchased it through a travel agency and that we can advocate alongside with you when these things go wrong, because you as a consumer should not take future travel credit when it is something of this kind.
And it's so frustrating for so many consumers, especially when they call the number to get some kind of help and then they're told your wait time, Ryan Hansen, is 3 to 4 hours. I don't even think the battery on my phone would last 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, we love a lot of things about travel, Bill. You and I talk about all the positives that come from it, but let's not shy away. There are some negatives and some ugly things of travel. And unfortunately, the air piece has been challenging historically, either the cost of airline tickets, the availability issues, and now we're seeing it's beyond just crew availability and things like that when the FAA has issues that happen. So as a consumer, this is a frustrating point because the airlines aren't fully staffed to a point to be able to resolve the issues. And when the scale, look back on January 11th, I think there were almost 6,000 domestic flights that were canceled in one morning. You think about multiply that out to the number of passengers on each of those airline flights. The airlines are not staffed to a position where they could take those calls because of the volume. So it is frustrating, but that is my piece of advice. Do not give up. You are due that refund if that was the time that you wanted to go. Clearly, if you could use the credit and fly at another time, go for it. Take that opportunity, but don't take that as the only outlet.
Here's some good news. Omnibus Travel and Tourism Act. I had no idea that the United States has historically, Ryan Hansen, been the only country among the G20, a lot of big hitter nations there, to not have a cabinet-level tourism office.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece of legislation that, as you mentioned, it's as what happens legally. And I am not your legal expert. I'm not your U.S. government expert. You have other experts
yes.
on that. But I can at least touch on this. It's interesting to have something that is such an incredibly important piece to the GDP, to the global GDP, to the domestic GDP as well, to not have representation at the very highest level of government that is talking about inbound and outbound travel and tourism implications. And you think about everything that happened during COVID, from policies that were made from the president. And it doesn't matter who it was, because it started under one and it continued mm-hmm. under another, to congressional representations and what laws were put in place to require vaccinations on entry into the United States, to have mask mandates on domestic flights, right? It's those that are very recent issues that you could think of that wouldn't it be nice, and shouldn't we have had a U.S. tourism czar is kind of one of the words that they've used, and they have done that. So in the Omnibus Act that is come out and is passed, there's still some, as we know, once laws are passed, there's now the nitty-gritty of how are they going to provide a budget to get these things off the ground. But this position will sit inside the U.S. Department of Commerce, and essentially the mission of this job is for there will be one person in a department now that they wake up every day and go to bed every night, and they're going to lose sleep over what needs to be done in travel and tourism to provide greater efficiencies, to provide better economic drivers for inbound tourism, and to make the consumer's life a little bit easier as it relates. You think to those FAA issues we talked about, the refunds that the Department of Transportation is trying to coordinate. There's all these different silos of governmental arms, from the CDC talking about mandates with COVID vaccinations, all the way down to digitalizing passports. All of these different entities need to talk and need to interface with each other, from the Department of Homeland Security to the Department of Commerce. All of these departments are siloed. And to have this one department now at the cabinet level coordinate the communication, coordinate the decisions, and to think about this every day and have this be a priority is huge for us in the travel agency space. But I think it's even more important for the consumer, because now there's somebody that's looking out for you as a consumer versus, well, we're going to follow what the FAA says or the CDC or Homeland Security. We have coordination coming into the future.
And there was so much confusion, as we all know, over this three-year period of the pandemic, where we were not hearing really from one voice, and your industry was not being heard in many cases. I think this is going to go a long way to really having the one voice and getting some of travel issues to the forefront. Think about it, Ryan Hansen. The three-year anniversary of COVID is pretty much right now, within the next 30 days or so, when the pandemic really hit. Look at how your industry has changed.
Changed, has survived, has evolved, right? So we're much more technology savvy. We're much more of the consultative. We have been and really purported that over the years. But now, because there's so many unanswered questions, there's so much confusion, as you mentioned, and we are getting a little more streamlined as we get further and further away from the inception point of COVID, where countries are acting and their processes and protocols are kind of aligning. But in the last 2 years, we were in a situation where you couldn't go to England and France and have the same protocols. You had two different protocols in countries that are just right next to each other. And so I'm excited with where we're headed with travel into 2023, with more streamlined processes. This government act will, I think, help in that vein, because had we had somebody in that position to advise, to be the expert on the ground about, do we, and this is a Homeland Security issue, but do we close borders to tourism because of said incident? You know, this seat at the table will hopefully incorporate more than just Homeland Security's priority, which they have a priority, a huge reason to close a border, or other entities have their priorities that they have to have a seat at the table. This is an exciting move that will, I believe, enhance travel and make it that much better for all of us.
All right, still to come with Ryan Hansen in our January travel talk. Interesting to hear what you and your colleagues in the tour industry are saying are the most popular designations so far with the bookings for 2023. That's going to be next on our Travel Talk segment with Ryan Hansen right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Your first stop in planning your travel over to Silver City, I suggest log on to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Only about a 3-hour drive, tons of outdoor activities and some nice indoor ones as well by checking out the world famous collection of Mimbres pottery at Western New Mexico University. Only about a 3-hour drive. It's a great getaway. talking about getaways. It is Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. During the break, we heard you, Ryan, on that spot talking about there will be a travel show this year, and it's coming up very soon, the Bon Voyage Annual Travel Show.
It's coming up very soon. February 26th, that's a Sunday, at the Hilton El Conquistador Resort. We'll have over 35 of our best partners that are globally spread out, from hotel to cruise to land operators, to try to help inspire and provide opportunities for people to latch on to their next vacation and then come book it with Bon Voyage. So I'd love to see everybody there from 11 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And in fact, as we typically do, Bill, you and I will be kicking off the entire event yes. with our own little touch on 2023 travel trends and destinations and things pretty much that you and I love to talk about. And let's kick some off right now.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. The tour industry's most popular destinations for 2023. This was an interesting item you sent along to me. What you and your colleagues, Ryan Hansen, are discovering, what the bookings have looked like as we closed out 2022.
Yeah, when we look at the word tour in the travel space, maybe listeners may not understand what that means. It's really an escorted vacation. So there's somebody there to help you move around, to either help drive the bus or take care of your luggage or guide you with an expert that's locally knowledgeable about the museum or the artifact that you're looking at. So that type of travel is not, you know, Bill, you and Ann going off on your own and traveling by yourself. So let's clarify a little bit of that. But it does show and indicate what people are looking to want to do in 2023, and it always starts with Europe. Europe is a tremendous destination and still is for the North American traveler, and it all starts with Italy. That is number one on everybody's list, but some emerging destinations within Europe are Greece and Portugal, which are starting to become a little bit more exciting for the North American traveler to hit, which is great news for us because there is so much to see and do in both of those destinations that are the Mediterranean, but slightly different and unique in their own right from Italy.
Yeah, Portugal gets so overlooked. I love Portugal. I like even the outlying islands, the island of Madeira. I kind of call it Hawaii in the Atlantic. I mean, there's great up Lisbon. What a great city! It's the equivalent of like San Francisco in Europe with the hills. Love Portugal.
Yeah, there's an interesting new trend in travel that kind of ties into that destination, Bill, is called the travel to cultural capitals. Mm. And we're seeing a lot of movement to those urban settings like Montreal, Edinburgh, Lisbon falls into that mm-hmm. category. Maybe not your typical Paris, London, Rome urban European capitals, but that are still so rich with their culture. I loved seeing some of these other cities pop up as places for people to want to go congregate and just sit in the heart of a capital somewhere and hit all the hot spots from nightlife to great cuisine to the museums, because typically they're clustered, the historical artifacts from that country clustered in a capital setting. Your best museums are typically in those capitals. So that's a new trend that I found, you know, interesting and something that you kind of would venture to in some of your travels. One of the other destinations that I didn't mention was Ireland in the UK.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Very hot destination for people. And that is something that is another trend that we're seeing, and that is travel that's inspired by TV, movies, and streaming. Huh. And you can imagine that Downton Abbey has a significant push on people. If you love that show, back of your mind, hey, maybe I would like to go visit some of those places. We're also seeing Australia, New Zealand pop up as a hot spot because of Game of Thrones being so popular in the recent past. People want to experience that type of travel as well. So it's unique and interesting to follow some of these trends that pop up because of what people are watching on their devices, be it a streaming show on Hulu or Netflix or a traditional TV show.
And it's interesting, Africa back on the horizon, and a city that traditionally has not been on the radar, Ghana, is West Africa is now on the horizon.
Yeah, and that's what I love about the escorted vacation. I mentioned the hand-holding opportunity is whenever you get a little bit more off the beaten path, maybe a little bit more exotic. Europe, to me, for a well-traveled individual, pretty easy to assimilate into the culture and the movements. You may not need that hand-holding in Europe if you're someone who is able-bodied and you're well-traveled and you've experienced that type of travel. But when you start to get into Africa, and specifically destinations that are even more exotic within Africa that would be like a Ghana or a Rwanda to go guerrilla trekking, having somebody that's on the ground that's an expert that can handhold you on those types of tours, immensely important. And the next destination in the same vein would be Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. Some unbelievable destinations with Vietnam and Cambodia and some historical sites that are the best of the world. And at the top of my bucket list, you know, is Angkor Wat, is to get to some of those places. I like having somebody that's been there before that knows where to go. So that's where we can help connect you with the experts that know these destinations that are emerging again.
And for the cruisers, perhaps they've done all the major cruises. They are now turning to a different experience, aren't they?
They sure are. And you and I have talked a number of times about the expedition style of cruising. And you and I have kind of hit what I think is the coup de grace of expedition cruising, which is Antarctica. That's where many of the cruise lines are starting to build purpose-built ships for the polar regions to be able to address all that the weather and all the issues that can happen in Antarctica. But it's interesting now, they're recognizing that people love this style of cruising that's more immersive, it's more authentic, it's more adventurous, not for somebody that has to be a triathlete by any means, but has more activity, more of an exploration type of a cruise than the sun and sand relaxation cruise. You're seeing different destinations pop up like the Kimberleys in New Zealand and the Galapagos and the Amazon. How about this one, an expedition cruise on the Great Lakes?
Wow.
Not something that we've seen a lot of, but for those that you don't want to sit on an airplane to go across the Atlantic to be on a cruise. They love something close to home. The Mississippi River has hit. Caribbean cruises have always been popular. Alaska we love. But how about the Great Lakes? Something that maybe you haven't thought of, but would be an interesting trip from Toronto to Milwaukee and hitting all the stops within there. Maybe something that piques your interest.
Hmm. I grew up on Lake Michigan, just north of Chicago. I used to always consider Lake Michigan my ocean, so that sounds very intriguing.
There you go. I mean, who wouldn't want to stop off at Mackinac Island?
Oh, I love that area. Place. That's a great place to go. So all sorts of travel trends, and again, we have the travel show coming up. You'll have pretty much all the vendors, all the biggies in the industry will be there, I assume.
You bet. From the tops in the cruise space, again, to some great hoteliers, and we've got those escorted vacation supplier partners of ours from Tauk to Trafalgar to Globus. So if any of these exotic places piqued your interest and you said, I don't know if me and my wife feel confident in doing this ourselves, what is this escorted vacation? What does that mean? The travel show is the perfect place to come for those questions that you've always asked yourself. We've always wanted to go there, but I just don't know how to get there. Where should I stay? What do we do? I've always heard that Portugal's amazing. Bill told me it's amazing,
yeah,
but
it is.
What's the best way to approach it? And that's where the travel show will take you to that next step of, you know, the dreaming phase to now starting the planning process. Mm-hmm. And that's where we enter in. And this is the best spot to go because you can hit a couple different things. We have great presentations, Bill, as you know, beyond just you and I. We will headline it. Yes, that is for sure. but there will be presentations, about 35 of them.
Wow.
So
alrighty.
Check out the schedule online and pick which itinerary and presentation schedule works best for you.
And that online presence is BV for Bon Voyage, bvtravel.com. Ryan, got to go. Thank you. Always a pleasure. See you at the travel show.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ryan Hansen, Tom Engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, stay tuned for Dave Ramsey. Have a great afternoon.